teach them.
Amen. Let me share a story with you before we get into our message on today. It was a story about a couple who had been married for 50 years, and they were sitting, they were talking with these young couples, and the question came up, well, how has it been that you all have been able to be married for 50 years? What are your secrets? The husband says, well, I tell my wife how much I love her, how much I adore her, how much I listen to her and do what she tells me to do. But for our 25th anniversary, we celebrated by going to Beijing, China. Praise God. And then for our 50th anniversary, I went back and got it. But the secret really to any successful marriage is time with one another. Amen. The more time you spend with one another, the more intimate you become, and the more knowledgeable you become of that other person when you spend time with one another. And as we continue our series on Extreme Makeover, we talked last week about how the Lord does extreme makeover in our life. That when Jesus Christ came into our world, he completely, totally transformed us and made us something totally new. It wasn't because we were able to do it ourselves, but because Jesus found us and didn't leave us the way he found us. Amen for that. All right? He didn't wait for us to get our act together, because some of us would still be a hot mess. I'm looking at some of y'all. But the beauty is that Jesus did a work in our lives and we are a new creation. Praise God. And so today we're going to focus on an extreme makeover in our prayer life. I know I'm not going to give a lot of amens since we're talking about prayer today. But one of my favorite books is by Jim Sumlin. It's called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. And in this book, he says this. He says, throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, nowhere does it say that his house, God's house, should be called a house of preaching. Nowhere throughout the Scripture does this. Scripture says that his house should be a house of music. Those things are important. We believe in those. But at the end of the day, the only thing that God says that his house will be known for is a house of
prayer.
And it is a sad indictment for the church when we don't pray.
Amen.
We got like 3 amens. It's okay. But even as Jesus walked with his disciples, notice what his disciples don't do. They don't ask, they don't say, Jesus, teach us how to preach well.
Amen.
It didn't say, Jesus, show us how to disciple well.
Amen.
The one thing they asked Jesus, they could have asked Jesus for anything.
Amen.
They said, Jesus, could you teach us how to
pray?
So I think having walked with Jesus and saw Jesus' prayer life, it was something about his prayer life that says, you know what? I need to learn how to pray like that.
Yeah.
And Jesus began to teach his disciples how to pray.
Yes.
Let me say it like this, and you can write this down. When a church doesn't pray, it is our declaration of independence. It is to say, God, I don't need you. God, I got this on my own. And I don't think, as the body of Christ, as people who are sold out for Jesus, we ought to ever communicate to the Lord that we don't need him. If anything, we ought to pray, God, I need you every day, every hour, every minute, every second. God, I need you. And prayer is to say, God, I need you. Prayer to God is our intimacy with him to say, God, I want to know you in a better way. It is not for me to just have every now and then business with the Lord. But I need to posture myself and say, God, no, I need to spend as much time with you as possible. Because think about it, when Jesus came onto this earth, remember, we didn't have this kind of relationship with God the Father. So when Jesus died, the Bible says, and the veil was ripped open. So the very thing that separated the people from God's presence, God, Jesus said, no more separation.
Yes.
Now everybody has an opportunity to enter into the presence of the Lord, and you don't need any help to do it. You can do it all by yourself.
All right.
All you need is just opportunity.
All right.
And And as a church, we want to make sure we capitalize on every moment to be able to spend with God. Yeah. Because I'm learning this, that as we spend time with God, God will do some things to us. Yeah. Some of it is really great, but some of it is kind of hard. Because as we spend time with God, what happens is he begins to expose us for who we really are. Yeah. Now, you can fake us out all you want. Now we're faking this morning. Y'all know how church folk can be. We can fake really well. Amen, somebody. We can fake really well. But the one person that we cannot fake is the Lord. So we can bring our fakeness to him, and he said, fake. And what he begins to do is really expose us for who we are. And I'm going to say it like this, even as I think about my time with my wife, sometimes, as hard as it is at times, sometimes my wife exposed some stuff in me that I don't want her to expose. And she calls me out on it. It ain't always praise the Lord. It ain't always amen. Sometimes it's like, oh, God, my whole right side hurting right now. Just. But one of the things I've learned is that we as a body of Christ need to pray more. Everybody say it with me, pray more. Say it like this, pray more.
Pray more. Pray more.
Amen. And as we go to our scripture this morning, we're going to go to Daniel chapter 6. And what we're going to see is a man whose life is characterized by his pursuit of the Lord. I mean that whatever season that he was in, that he was able to be sustained, not because he just did all the right things, not because he was just a good dude. It was because he understood that as long as he continued to walk with the Lord will walk with him. And as he walks with the Lord, God will bring some stability to his life that ordinarily life can make us unstable. You can say amen right there. Life can make us unstable if we're not careful. But if we walk with the Lord, he's able to bring stability into our life. Amen. And so what Daniel demonstrates is that he relied upon the presence of the Lord. And as we review his life, let's just kind of do a little quick review of his life. Daniel chapter 1, you don't have to turn to, we're just going to do a review. In Daniel chapter 1, he's a teenage little dude, and he is taken away from his family and his friends. And he was told even what to eat. But because of his conviction about who his Lord was, he was like, I'm not doing that. And I think as people, we have to have a certain kind of conviction about who our Lord is. So if the culture tries to convince us to do something else, we can say, I know who my God is. My God is good. So even though you try to convince me to do something else, I'm going to continue to trust the Lord. Because one of the things you'll find, and you can write this down, Daniel Black said this, character is never situational. And what he was suggesting, like when you look at the life of Daniel, his character didn't change when he changed location. Okay. You know how some people have a church them, and then they have an at-work them, and they have an at-home them, and then they got their friends them? Because whenever they're in a different environment, they're always changing, they're flipping, they're switching. But one of the things that we find out about Daniel is that he doesn't flip because he knows whose he is. And when you're confident in who you are in Jesus Christ, you don't have to change for anybody. So what, they don't like you? Amen. I'm not in the business of making you happy. I'm sorry, was that too strong? I'm sorry. Like, wait a minute, Pastor, you're supposed to make us feel? No. I'm in the business of pleasing the Lord. And sometimes in pleasing the Lord, it makes you mad. Rough today. So as people, we're not to be just people pleasers, but pleasers of the Lord. Right down in Daniel chapter 2, as we look at his life, King Nebuchadnezzar has his dream, and he needs someone to interpret the dream, and they find Daniel as the one who was only able to interpret the dream. Right down in Daniel chapter 2, verse 22. And this is what he discovers when he spends time with God. This is what he says. He says, and I love this, in verse 22, he says, God reveals deep and hidden things. So let's pause for a moment. Let's not run past that. So he said, as I spend time with God, it is God who does the revealing of those things that I can't understand. Okay? So it's not my job to try to just figure out all that life has to offer, but if I get before the face of the Lord, he does the revelation for me. Amen? But then, watch what happens in verse 23. This is what he says. He says, for you, and this is, he's talking to God, have, and I love this, have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you. Because as we're spending time with God, God gives us wisdom and might. Okay? Because all of us have been called to do something. Mic check. All of us have been called to do something. And in that work, let's understand something. This is not just our work apart from God. Henry Blackaby says it like this. He says, we got to find out where God is at work and join God there. Some of us are over somewhere else trying to do things in our own power. And we're failing miserably. But when we make our decision, say, okay, God, I'm going to pursue you. And as I pursue you, you're going to make known to me what I ought to be doing. But if I don't seek the Lord, I'm going to wander aimlessly. And so he says, God, you reveal deep and hidden things. And God, you give wisdom and might. And that was only revealed, not in him coming to church, but coming to the Father. Let us never confuse the two. Because I think for some, they think that if I could just make it to church, everything's going to be all right. Let me clear something up. The church ain't God. Can I say ain't? I just feel like saying ain't right now. The church is not God. But when we posture our minds to pursue the presence of the Lord, he brings wholeness to our life. Because let me tell y'all a secret. Y'all screwed up. Let me tell y'all a secret. Sometimes the church can hurt you.
Preach.
But if I don't make the church the thing, but I make God the thing, if the church hurts me, God can heal me. So, everybody say, pursue God. In Daniel chapter 4, he's getting a little older. He's about middle age. He's about my age. And now he's called on again to begin to interpret a dream. They're finding out that this guy seems to be the only one that can interpret dreams. Because why? Because he seems to be walking with the Lord. And as he's walking with the Lord, God keeps helping him out in times of need. So here's the truth. When we're walking with God, we don't have to shoulder the work by ourselves. And here's the truth, that when God uses us, people notice. They realize, they say, you know what? You look like you walk with the Lord. With the T on the end, Lord. Y'all pray.
We are.
So chapter 5, we're still seeing his life being used, and Belshazzar is now the king, and then as they were partying, they were kicking it, they were having a good time pouring up the drinks and doing all that kind of crazy stuff. Then all of a sudden, the Bible says that a hand started showing up and began to write all along. And the king was so full, I mean, not on food, just on. So, you want to pick it up? Okay. He wasn't just full on food. And I'm sure as he's full, he's trying to figure out what is this he's seeing. Because when you're full of stuff, it'll make you some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Wait a minute. And so as he's terrified, he's afraid, and he's trying to figure out how can I understand what's happening. And guess who they call? Oh, our boy, Daniel. And Daniel shows up and he begins to interpret what the writing was. Because his life has been consistent. That he's been walking with God. And when we go to now Daniel chapter 6, we see that he's in his winter years of life. He's about in his 80s. He's been about 70 years in Babylon. And throughout this journey, God has sustained him. And he never veered off course. Because it was God who not only can save a person, But God has got up to sustain a person.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. As Colossians tells us that all things are made by God and for God, and through Him, He's able to hold all things together. So although David has experienced all of this in his life, he still remained faithful. And I think this is worth noting. You can stay faithful to God when you realize how faithful He is to you. When you realize that He keeps blessing you, He keeps waking you up in the morning, He keeps giving you wisdom, a portion of health and strength, He keeps giving you a right mind, He keeps giving you an opportunity to worship Him and praise Him, the least we can do is keep on going. To the best of our ability. And so when we get to now Daniel chapter 6, his life is on full display. The people were trying to, well, first of all, the king had already elevated him, which is great news that if you keep following the Lord, you don't have to make yourself elevated. God elevates you. So God has elevated this young man, and he's one of few who's now called to lead the nation. Unfortunately, when you get elevated, you attract a certain kind of people who's not going to always celebrate you.
Say that.
Let's be very clear. Yeah. Just because they're cheering for you right now doesn't mean that they have your best interest in mind. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so he's been elevated. He's now attracting these haters. And they're trying to figure out, how can we get this brother? He's living right. He's doing all the right things. How can we trap him? What do we know about him? He prays. That'll preach all by itself. They said, let's figure out a way to trap him. They devised a plan to trap him. And now this plan has been laid out. Now we're at verse 10. I'll pick you up at verse 10. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. When you have it, shout, whoop, there it is. I assume everybody else is still looking for it. Got like three whoops. Not whoops. Whoops. Whoop. No S on whoops.
Whoop.
Never play too much. All right, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, and it reads like this. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his crib, where he had windows in the upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And I want you to underline this, as he had done previously. This wasn't a new thing for him. He made a practice of praying 3 times a day. I think for many of us, we only pray when there's a situation that we try to get out of. You ain't gotta say amen. Folks be putting their stuff on Facebook too much. You ain't gotta say, I know. That's when they get the most spiritual. That's when they post the scriptures. For 2 months, they got other stuff over, eh? But hard times, buddy. All right, Lord, I need you today. Show up. I know you're able. Down verse 16. Anyway, all right, let's get this. Verse 11. Then these men came by agreement. And guess what? They found Daniel making petitions and plead before his God. So let's pause here for a moment. Question. If enemies were going to trap you, how would they find you?
That's a good question.
It was known that this brother was a prayer warrior. They knew that there would be a time they're going to be able to run up on him praying. And I'm wondering if the enemy, if he looks for us, will he ever find us praying sometime? Get quiet. All right, it's going to be all right today. Because I was here Wednesday. For noonday prayer, it was my kind of my first week, right? And it was, Chris, how many? It was three of us. It was three of us. seeking the face of the Lord. Yeah. The Bible says there were two or three are gathered in his name. Yeah. He's there. Yeah, there. I just wondered what would happen if we had 80 people in prayer, right, seeking the face of the Lord.
Yeah. How you talking?
What if we had 120 people, yeah, together seeking the face of the Lord? I just imagine that the Lord might just show up. Get quiet. Let's try that one more time. I just believe, as a church, if we set our hearts to pursue the presence of the Lord, he will just show up. And maybe he's not showing up because the church ain't praying enough. It's going to be rough today. It's going to be rough today. Because when we look at Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, we're really towards the end of 1, it was 120 people together praying. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit just kind of dumped himself on that entire group of people, and they experienced something that they had never experienced before. Yeah. And I'm wondering if the church hasn't experienced things before because we're just not together praying.
All right.
We've adopted this. I got my own prayer closet. You know, and that's good. Don't hear me. I'm not talking bad about prayer closet. I think we all need to pray privately. But I just think every now and then, the body of Christ needs to come together on one accord so that we can experience God together. Amen, somebody. And I think the success of the church is not how well we're organized, but how well we're dependent upon the presence of the Lord. And if we're not seeking the presence of the Lord, we're not going to succeed. Because this is not our work. This is his work, and he's calling us to be a part of it. So when we look at Daniel's life, his success wasn't on how he could have an impact on a nation. For him, it was about how well can I be obedient to God. Three things, and I'll get out your way.
Thank you, God, preacher.
Here's a few things that he teaches us about prayer. First of all, prayer is an act of obedience, not obligation. Prayer was in Daniel's DNA. And how do we know this? Because his enemies found him praying. They knew they would find him praying. But notice this, that as things become, you know, evident that Daniel's getting ready to have a hard time, prayer wasn't his last resort.
That's right. Go ahead, preach.
Prayer is his initial response.
Tell it.
Because when you spend time with the Lord, you realize that he can do some things and reveal some things that just doing stuff in your own power won't accomplish. Amen? And so what he does is that he makes prayer such a priority. And guess what? God made him a priority and continued to elevate him. Just continue to elevate him. Because he continued to seek the Lord. So as a church, let's not make the practice of, you know, use prayer as a last resort. Well, I guess I can't do nothing else, but just pray about it. We say, let us just make it a practice to pray anyway. We don't need to be pressed for anything. We just want to pray in everything. So watch what happens. So he's praying, his enemies find him, but I think what we see with him is that he made a very simple strategy. Y'all ready for the strategy?
Go ahead.
Y'all ready for his strategy?
Talk to us.
It's deep, y'all. It's deep.
Talk to us.
His strategy, seek the face of the Lord.
All right.
That's it. So, yeah. Give me like five steps to like a better successful life. No, his strategy for success was to seek the face of the Lord. And I think as a church, we need to make that a priority. Everybody say, make it a priority. Don't make it a last resort. Praise the Lord. But then, so not only does he teach us that prayer is about obedience and not obligation, but then also, number six, he also shows us that prayer, we must pray during times of opposition. Yeah, let's not take Daniel, because at this point, remember, he's about 80 years old. And you know, sometimes you have some people that don't like to change. Don't point at anybody today. Some folks, they just don't like change. Amen. So let's not take him as one who's just kind of an old guy who doesn't want to change. But I think if anything, it teaches us that he is very consistent in his prayer life. He says, even if the laws change, it doesn't change me. Because the government began to make this as a change that you cannot pray. And he said, you know what? I'm not going for that. Because notice over his life, here's what's happened to Daniel. They took him from his home. They took him from his family. They took his name. But he says, that's where it's going to stop. Y'all not taking my God away from me.
Yeah. All right.
Amen.
Let's try that one more time. He's had everything taken from him. He says, and I'm not letting you take the Lord who has, you can take, in fact, he says, you can take all that other stuff.
Yeah.
I just want you.
All right.
You can take my name.
Yes.
You can take my clothes.
Yes.
You can take my family.
Yes.
You can take my friends.
Yes.
You can take my house. You can take my car. You can take all of that. But I just want you, because if I have you, I got everything else anyway.
Yeah,
because the presence of the Lord is life. And if I don't have him, I don't have life.
No, you don't.
So Daniel says, I'm with the Lord, so it doesn't matter what's taken from me as long as I got King Jesus.
All right.
I don't need nothing else.
Yeah.
Some of y'all said, I don't know if I'm going to pray that prayer. Just, I like my hair.
Yeah, yeah. Help him, Jesus.
I like my hair. Because when we get the Lord, we realize that there are no substitutes.
There you go.
When, okay, can we say it like this? When we've experienced the presence of the Lord, there's nothing else that can be substituted. Like, you can substitute sugars, right? You know, some people like, you know, regular sugar, some like sweet and low, some like equal. You can swap that. But when it comes to when you experience the presence of the Lord,
you
don't want anything else. There's no substitutes for the Lord. Because when you have him, he gives you things that nothing else can give you. Like peace of mind, like joy, like strength. Like, no, he gives you stuff that the world can try to give you, but you realize, I see you, but you can't fool me. Don't be fooled by what the world wants to offer you. And so he doesn't, and I love this, he doesn't launch a public protest because they changed the law. You know, because that's what we do in our culture nowadays. When we don't like something, we're going to march. Now, hear me say this. I'm not saying don't march for stuff, okay? But don't let the march be the main thing. Okay? So we need to make sure that the main thing is always the Lord. So what does he do? He says, okay, I'm not going to launch a campaign to just protest this law, but here's what I'm going to do. My protest is my private petition to the Lord. So he didn't say, hey, y'all, look at me as I pray. I'm showing them. He says, no, I'm showing you, Lord. I'm showing you that you matter. And I'd rather obey you than me.
Okay.
But then as we look at his life, I think Daniel shows us that he doesn't just have a regular prayer life. But I think he has what we call, and you can write this down, a worship-based prayer life. Because when you worship God, it is not that you're coming before him saying, God, I need, I want, bless, keep, need. When you go to God in prayer and worship, it's to say, I need you. I want you. There is none like you in all of all creation. Because what I don't need is more stuff, but what I do need is your presence. So when you read Jesus pray, he didn't pray, Father, I need something from you. Father, would you make a way out of no way? That's how we pray. Always about what we want, what we need. Worship-based prayer is like, I just want who you are, God. Because he says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's all about worship. He's making God the priority, not stuff. Because here's what I've learned. Because if you make the stuff the priority and you don't get it, You know how we get an attitude. Lord, I prayed for deliverance and I didn't get it. I prayed for a car, I didn't get it. I prayed for this, I didn't get it. But when you make the Lord the priority, you're going to always get the Lord. And I think sometimes we mix up stuff. You got to make the Lord the priority. Say, make the Lord the priority. So when we worship God through this prayer, it is our way of exercising our faith. Right there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. He says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe, first of all, look at this, that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So if we make our hearts pursue the presence of the Lord, guess what? He rewards us with not stuff, but him. I'd rather have you. And all the stuff in this world. Because all this stuff will fade away and mess around and die. Somebody else gonna get your stuff.
All
right. We're fighting over it. So again, we pursue the Lord and exercise our faith. The last thing, and then we're out of here. Prayer is not an obligation. But it's about an oasis experience.
It's
not about an obligation. I don't just pray because somebody tell me to pray. Mm. I don't do it out of some moral obligation. I do it because I love the Lord, first of all.
Yes.
But more importantly, when I pursue the Lord, he gives me this oasis. There's a picture I remember seeing about Daniel, and they paint this portrait of him in his winter years, and he's kind of balding, and he's standing in the lion's den. They got these lions all around him, looking to devour him. And the picture is very simple. He's just standing there and he's looking up at the window like this. The lions all around him. Because our tendency is to watch the lions. What you doing? Oh, watch you get close.
You're teaching for you, you're teaching.
Don't move. Daniel's not concerned what's happening around him. But he's happy. He's focused on what the Lord is able to do in him. So even if the situation doesn't change around him, as long as I keep looking to the Lord, he'll take care of all this stuff right here. So I'm going to keep my eyes fixated on the heels which come to all my help, because all my help comes from the Lord. So I can't do nothing about these lions, because they're stronger than I, they're bigger than I, but I can focus on. And the Lord began to shut the mouth. And you see, the beautiful thing about this is that when it came to God, he didn't do it for show. It wasn't about making his name known. But when it came to God, he was like, what kind of God are you serving? That's able to close the mouths of lions. Because our faithfulness is not just about what the Lord's able to do in us, but what he does through us can be a testimony to other people who's watching us. And when people see that the Lord is able to keep us in unkept situations, then that speaks volumes about who he is and who I'm not. So keep living for Jesus. Keep walking with him, and then let him use you to make his name known. It's not about making the church name known. It's not about making the pastor name known. It's about making his name alone known to everybody. Amen.
Amen.
So as a church, can we pray?
Amen.
As a church, can we pray?
Yes.
As a church, are we going to pray?
Yes.
Amen. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray.
All right.
I don't have my prayer warriors. They're going to come down and we're going to pray for real.
Amen.
Come on down, prayer warriors. I just heard. You know, we thank God for his spirit. Hungry and angry. benediction and prayer for the food. So, Dad, we pray on the food, all right? Praise God. I want you to find something that's hanging there. I'm going to ask my wife if she would join us. All right, be close. Amen. Father, we love you. I thank you for your abiding presence. God, we're so grateful for a church, God, that prays. God, thank you for making yourself known today. Thank you for burdens that have been lifted today. Thank you for hearts that have been healed. I thank you for those who've been delivered. Father, I also thank you for those who made a commitment today, God, to follow you, God, like they hadn't been before. So, Father, as we go down from this place, God, may we never leave your presence. Father, as we fellowship together, Father, we ask now, Lord, that you bless the meal that we're going to partake in, Lord. God, may it give us the strength that we need to continue to run with you, Lord, to walk with you. God, thank you, God, that your word has nourished our soul, God. So, Father, we pray protection over our time together, God. May it be a sanctified time. May it be a sacred time of friendship and fellowship, Lord. And God, as we eat the hot dogs, as we eat the hamburgers, God, we do so as brothers and sisters in Christ. God, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.